ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीभगवान् उवाच त्वयाहम् नोषिता सम्याग् वेदा अर्धा शुश्रिक्षया चिरम् विधेन तपसा दोष्ठोसा योगिनम् श्रीभगवानुवाच त्वयाहम् तोषितः सम्याग् वेदगर्भशिशिक्षया चिरम् वृथेन तपसा सस्कृतयोगिनम् श्रीभगवानुवाच त्वयाहम् तोषितः सम्याग् वेदगर्भस्य शिक्षया चिरम् वृथेन तपसा सस्कृतयोगिनम् श्रीभगवानुवाच त्वयाहम् तोषितः सम्याग् वेदगर्भस्य शिक्षया चिरम् वृथेन तपसा सस्कृतयोगिनम्
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the all-beautiful personality of Godhead, said, Tvaya, by you, aham, I am, toshita, pleased, samyak, complete, Veda Garbha, impregnated with the Vedas. Sisrikshaya, for creating. Chiram, for a long time. Britena, accumulated. Tapasa, by penance. Dushtosa, very hard to please. Kuta Yoginam, for the pseudo mystics. Translation. The beautiful personality of Godhead addressed Lord Brahma. O Brahma, impregnated with the Vedas, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance, with the desire for creation. Hardly am I pleased with the pseudo-mystics. Purport. There are two kinds of penance, one for sense gratification and the other for self-realization. There are many pseudo-mystics who undergo severe penances for their own satisfaction. And there are others who undergo severe penances for the satisfaction of the senses of the Lord. For example, the penances undertaken to discover nuclear weapons will never satisfy the Lord because such a penance is never satisfactory. By nature's own way, everyone has to meet death. And if such a process of death is accelerated by anyone's penances, there is no satisfaction for the Lord. The Lord wants every one of his parts and parcels to attain eternal life and bliss by coming home to Godhead. And the whole material creation is meant for that objective. Brahma underwent severe penances for that purpose, namely to regulate the process of creation so that the Lord might be satisfied. Therefore, the Lord is very much pleased with him. And for this, Brahma was impregnated with Vedic knowledge. The ultimate purpose of Vedic knowledge is to know the Lord and not to misuse the knowledge for any other purposes. Those who do not utilize Vedic knowledge for that purpose are known as Kuta Yogis or pseudo-transcendentalists who spoil their lives with ulterior motives. So penance is a very important element. Through penance, everything happens. Austerity means everything functions by austerity. It means that is the payment. We see it as economics, but the economics is the endeavor there. There's an austerity in creating it. So the common element is the austerity that's there in any position in life. That austerity then creates results. So here, then, Krishna is making a distinction between the two kinds of austerity. That which is done to please the Lord and that which is not. Because as Prabhupada points out here, that even for the materialists, their results are coming from austerity. Right? Here he gives the example of the nuclear weapon. So some people really worked hard, used their intelligence, some risked their lives, and worked under a lot of pressure, minimal sleep, no association. I think they were kept in some special area. They didn't see anybody except themselves. And so great austerity was performed, and from that austerity, then they were able to understand how the nuclear weapons function. So that austerity doesn't please the Lord. Right? Probably gives another example of austerity, or the girls being skimpily dressed out on the street when it's very cold outside. It's an austerity. But from that austerity, then they're hoping to gain popularity, attraction, interaction, all these things. So it's only through austerity that anything is gained. The Manu gives the example, even the bugs and animals, it's through austerity that they attain the heavenly planets. Right? So one would ask, well, I've never heard of any bug going to heavenly planets. But it's the living entity being in the position of a bug. It's not necessarily what you'd call a great life, right? Anytime it can be stepped on, you turn upside down in your back, you're stuck for a while. There's a lot of problems, You happen to fly into someone's house. It doesn't have the moisture and things that you would find outside, so then they have trouble. So it's austere. It's very austere. Animals, it's austere. You can imagine if you don't take a bath. Okay, your body feels bad, but your hair feels worse, right? If you don't take a bath. Now you can imagine your whole body's covered with hair. So it's austere. It's very austere. So by doing this, then they elevate themselves back to the human form of life from that austerity. Then they're more inclined towards austerity, so then they will go to the heavenly planets. Does that make sense? So it's all through austerity. So Brahma, through his austerity, now he's pleased the Lord. And now he has been empowered with the Vedic knowledge so that he can properly perform creation. Because that's, one must know the Vedic literatures, because that is the method to elevate oneself. Material world has been created by Krishna to go back to Godhead. That's its purpose, not any other purpose. So even if you're not willing to go back to Godhead, at least one should be willing to follow the Lord's instructions, because then at least it's progressive. You're not disturbing others. If you have a whole bunch of very nice, pious, pleasant materialists, it's still a very nice atmosphere for devotees to function in. The devotees still, they'll give money to the devotees, they'll take part in different programs, they'll give support, they won't make any trouble. So that's right, Krishna says this. Basically, if you can't engage in any way in devotional service, then be nice, be pious, open a hospital, give in charity, do something like that, be a nice guy, like that. So that's there. But if you can't do that, okay, you can be an impersonalist, because at least they support the culture in which devotees can thrive, and though they will make trouble for devotees philosophically. but at least it's better than all around where they're gross materialists, not pious, and not interested in the Vedas. They make the most trouble for the devotional process. So with this knowledge, then Brahma will be able to create. Through that, he can understand what is actually going on. Because there are basic formulas on which the universe functions. You understand those formulas, it makes it much easier to go back to Godhead. You understand that, seeing that the creation is Krishna, that it functions like Krishna. Right? How Krishna does things, the material world functions in the same way. It's inferior, but it still functions in the same way. So Brahma has this knowledge. And now he is able to give it to others. That is the point that Krishna is making here. Then the pseudo-yogis, they may be following some austerity, or whatever it is, or they may even be following the Vedic processes. But because it's for themselves, it does not please Krishna. So in our own life, whatever we do, if it pleases Krishna, that austerity, that endeavor that we make pleases Krishna, then he will be happy. If it doesn't please Krishna, then those moments are not very glorious, not very special. Right? Even though it's nice, it still doesn't please Krishna. Does that make sense? Austerity, you're trying to get a result. Result means then they'll be controlling, they'll be enjoying. From that, then there'll be sense gratification. So when austerity is done so that the results and the end sense gratification is Krishna's, that pleases Krishna. But when the end result is our own, that doesn't please Krishna. Does that make sense? One could think, well, I mean, if God really liked us, then he'd want to see us enjoy. Why only we? Isn't that a bit self-centered, you know, like that? I mean, he is the center of everything, and he is everything. But, I mean, you know, just literally speaking, wouldn't we say he's a bit self-centered here? But then, that's okay, looking at a perspective that we're God. Because he's God, he can be self-centered, right? And Dwarka, when he gets up in the morning, then the rule is you have to meditate on God. So he sits down and meditates on himself. You know, so he's following the rule. But it's still him. Right? So, it's alright that he's self-centered because he is the self. Right? And we're parts and parcels of that self. Now, if we're looking at it from that angle, which is the Purusha mood, then it appears that God would be self-centered rather than us. So then, but you have to remember is that God's idea is relationship. Interaction. Right? You do something for someone, then they do something back. They reciprocate. So it's not that God doesn't want to see us happy, but he wants to be the one making us happy. Right? Just imagine, okay, you have a parent, and the parent has a child. And the child does everything themselves. Right? They wash their own clothes, they cook their own food, they clean, they do everything, seemingly in one way, you know, a dream kid. But from another angle, the kid doesn't need the parent. Where's the point at which you interact? You know, they come home and, you know, hi mom, oh hey, you want to come in the kitchen? No, I'm busy cleaning my room now. You know what I'm saying? There's no relationship. So the whole idea is you try to please the other person, they try to please you. That's relationship. Right? If you're trying to please God and he's trying to please himself, then you could say it's one way. But it's not like that. He's already self-satisfied. So for fun, he likes to please others. Right? He's already happy. Right? A man who's wealthy and contented with his money takes pleasure in giving it away. Right? So he's already contented. You know, you can't get better Atma Rama than him. Right? So now he takes pleasure in making others happy. So that's the whole point, is your austerities are to please him, and then his pleasure is pleasing you. Then it works. It's a relationship, it's personal. That's what God wants to do. He wants to interact like this. But we generally tend to not. You know, we generally like put him in such a position that somehow we're doing everything for him because it's right, it's good, it's religious, it's spiritual, it's transcendental, it will get us back to Godhead. Right? Very, you know, natural positions to take. But in there was one of those relationship, interaction? No. So that's the thing, when we're thinking like that, then it may not make sense. But for Krishna, we've always been his part and parcel, and he has affection for us, and we always will be. So he is simply thinking and interacting with us. That's what he does. We may realize it or not, but everything that goes on in your life is of value is him. You know, he knows that. He's interacting. But it's not appreciated by us. So then, So Krishna then, his whole idea is by performance of austerity. And that austerity means performing one's activities according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's austerity. That's actual austerity. By doing that, then the living entity pleases Krishna. Because there must be some medium. One would say, well, why that? Why not something else? You know, whatever I feel like, I do that. That's nice, okay. But, you know, you feel like burping, so why don't we burp for Krishna or something, you know. It's like, what does it mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm in a bad mood. I don't want to do anything, so I'll just sit in my room and sulk for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how does it work? So, to find something that would actually please the other person, then it's just like this. Let us say, okay, there's somebody who you bump into and you make some, acquaintance. And in this acquaintance, you know, it's nice, but in it you'll take it moment by moment. You know, when it comes up, you move with it. If it doesn't go nice, you know, you don't bother. Okay. So then from that standpoint, you know, you could say, what's the big deal? But let us say there's somebody you really wanted to make a relationship with, and it really mattered to you. You don't know this person. You just know something about them enough that you very seriously want to be connected with them in a very close or serious way. What will you do? Just sit there and wait for the next moment? Or are you going to go talk to people that know them or find out about them? Look them up on the internet. Try to find out whatever you can about them. What are they like? What do they do? What are their interests? Right? So that way then you're more, prepared for when you do come in contact, the interaction will be better. Does that make sense? So that's what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra are for. Here's God. And if we really want to get to know him, we would want to know as much about him as possible. Right? And nowadays you can look him up on the internet. Yeah? Like that. Go to Krishna.com. Like that, you know. There he is. So then, does that make sense? So that's why we approach from the scriptures. Scriptures give. People who have compassion for the living entity have made these Vedic literatures. Right? The Shruti is the Veda. It's always been there. But from that, from the sages studying the Shruti, then they've made this Smriti. All the Smritis are conversations, basically. Unless they're taken from those main things and condensing those. Then you'll get ones that are not conversations, like Vedanta Sutra or stuff like that. But even that, it has an element of discussion in it. Minimal, but others are, the Upanishads are all one person talking to another, the Puranas, somebody talking to another, your medical treatises, your Dharma Shastras, all these different, somebody's talking to somebody. And they're training them, and they're giving the essence of what the Veda itself, what the Shruti says. Right? So it's out of their kindness so that we can know who is God and relate to Him and develop that relationship. Then they have created these literatures. Therefore, by performing our appropriate duties with this knowledge given by Guru Sadhana Shastra, that then pleases Krishna. Right? That is very special to Him. Because it is the medium through which you know it works. Right? Right? No use giving somebody a nice long-stemmed rose when they hate roses. Right? Okay, the gesture is nice, you didn't know, okay. But it's not like it was considered great. Right? You know, you should give something they like. So by knowing from the Shastra what Krishna likes, what the devotees like, then we are able to perform our austerity so they're in line with that. Then that medium becomes the way to relate with the Lord. Prabhupada was mentioning about your standards in the kitchen. One I think it's a letter. Prabhupada's writing one devotee and talking about how the importance of in the kitchen, about separating bhoga and prasad. And, you know, maintaining that the cleanliness standards between purity and cleanliness. You know, it's pure. It's pure, it's not mixed with prasad like this. And then at the end of describing this, then Prabhupada's point is, if you say you love Krishna and you don't do this, what's the proof that you love? Right? Because you can say I love you, but okay, great. But you'll watch to see it manifest through something. Right? Through some endeavor. It has to manifest. Of course, that you made the statement, that's an endeavor, great. But then you have to do something more than that, because it's ongoing in the relationship. Does that make sense? So there's always a medium. So therefore, all these things that we do, how we dress, how we eat, how we interact with each other, all these things are mediums through which we can please Krishna, prove to Him that we actually have affection, or at least an interest to develop that affection. Does that make sense? And one may say, well, that's external, but yes, because the affection is a real thing. But in the spiritual world, they still have interaction. And that's the medium to express. Right? Krishna once has a friendship relationship with someone on equality. So how do you manifest that? You manifest it by doing things to make them look silly, or activities, you know, wrestling and doing things with them, or kind of, does that make some sense? You have to have something. That's why the cowherd boys are always playing, wrestling, you know, challenging each other and playing all kinds of games, because that's the medium through which that kind of friendship can be expressed. Right? The servants, they want to serve Krishna. So then they come and they do different things. They clean his house, they make things, they help in the kitchen, they wash his clothes. That way then there's some medium. Does that make sense? You know? Mother Jashoda, then, you know, you have the kitchen, you have the nice food, you have other arrangements, his clothes, his ornaments, his apartments. All these things she's always arranging for, his protection, right? Before they go out, then she has to be convinced that Krishna will be saved. So Balaram and, what is it? Balabhadra. There's a whole bunch of Bhadras. Mandali Bhadra. And a few others. They're like older cowherd boys. But they go out with swords. Right? They actually go out with swords and sticks and other things. And Mother Yashoda is okay. He'll be taken care of. So there must be some medium through which it can be expressed. Does this make sense? So that's the importance of the rules and regulations of devotional service. Because that one feels, that's great. That's important. That's what we want to get to. But more important than just we feel like that is it's expressed. Does that make sense? In other words, if there's some affection or some feelings, in other words, if there's feelings of appreciation towards Krishna, but you don't do anything to show it other than just that feeling, that's called Shanta Ras. Right? That's it. And technically, though we accept five rasas, in Braj, technically we don't look at it like that. There's only four. The Shanta Ras isn't counted. Because Braja Krishna, then that becomes the interaction is what is important. Right? That's what Krishna looks to. He is existence. Radharani is the pleasure potency. But the two of them coming together, that's pastime. So you have to have an excuse. Right? Let us say you want to be with somebody. Boys and girls want to be together. They have to find an excuse. Right? Oh, I forgot I have to do this. Right? It means now I can get away and go do something. Right? You know, so many reasons. Come in, bring something, do something. It's not necessary, but it happens. Right? In other words, you're finding some excuse to create an interaction. Does that make sense? Some reason is there. You have to walk down the street, you have to bump into them, or something is there. There's some reason that there must be an exchange. Because in the exchange is where relationship is established and tasted. Does that make sense? So, since we don't necessarily have that spontaneous desire, and therefore then we will take up these various cultural, pious cultural activities to please Krishna, then the rules and regulations are established so that we know what are the options for creating a relationship with Krishna. Right? You know, we don't walk by and like put our shoulder and nudge Krishna and just to create, you know, he'll turn around and what's going on? You know, it's not used. So there must be, so the scriptures give us what is that cause, right? Does that make any sense? Okay. So any questions or comments on this? No? Yes.
Of course, very wonderful classes. When you speak about austerities, you mentioned, of course, the austerities for spiritual advancement and austerity for the truth. But then you mentioned also about like the animal, warm austerities. It seems, what I find hard to understand is how is it austerity when you don't have any choice? I can understand the austerities. Well, getting something, you have some choice. You do this and you maintain that. But there's no choice. How is that austerity?
Okay. Yeah. Question is that austerity where there's choice is obvious that it's austerity, but austerity where it's not choice, you know, like someone is, the animals themselves, or someone's put in jail, or, you know, you did not plan this morning that you would get hit by a Mack truck. You know, why is that austerity? So, they still make Mack trucks, don't they? Yeah. Make sure that it's not too archaic here. So then, okay. Means austerity is austerity. Means something that is, let's say, restrictive. Something that means something else could be done, but it's not. It's not necessarily, you may have a choice or not, just like you may have service that you're supposed to do. So then the ideal is you just do it. You'll get the most benefit. You don't want to do it, then you may be convinced to do it. Or, what do you call it? Consequences may be presented if you don't do it. So you do it anyway. So the actual, how do you say, generic experience is the same. But in one, there's the in other words, the more inspiration there is to do it, the greater you're getting from it. You know, it's just like, let us say if you put on an animal skin and wore that for one lifetime, then you would probably get some extremely, extremely serious results from that. Right? But animals have to do it for many lifetimes because it isn't voluntary, so they don't actually learn so much so quick. Does that make sense? Any activity done with knowledge and done with actually, willingly, the benefit is much greater. Krishna mentions that when in the Govardhan Puja, that he was talking about why they're doing the India Yajna and they didn't know. So Krishna made the comment, if you know, you get more benefit. If you don't, you always get benefit. You know, it's just like, let's say you give in charity. I give, 10 pies to a beggar. And it's just an ordinary person, or anybody I give, ordinary person. I will get 10 pies back. Like that. If I give it to somebody who is claiming to be a Brahmin, right, dressing or presenting themselves to the Brahmin, I'll get 20 pies back. I'll get back double. Just because I have respected the position of, Brahminhood, even though the person is not qualified like that. They get 10 paisa, but I'll get 20. Right? Then if they are knowledge, it means actually study the scriptures and know and are practicing, it means their lifestyle is according to scripture. You know, their determination, what they've studied and what they value, they practice it. Then you'll get 100,000 times the return. Now, that's a lot of 10 paisas. And if they're spiritual, if they're realized, they're devotees and realized, then it's unlimited. You can't count it in the return. Because then actually you're dealing with transcendental. So that you can't compare like that. So, in other words, we see the act of charity is the same, but depending on the quality of the arrangement, the result is there. So austerity is the same principle, but it depends upon the quality of your consciousness and determination, how much you get out of it. Does that make sense? So you can say, well, that's not really austerity. It is austerity, but it wouldn't be what we call austerity. Just like here, the mystic yogis, the Kuta yogis, the so-called mystics, they are doing austerities, very severe things, according to Shastra. But because it's for their own purpose, we don't actually call that austerity. You know? Just like it's being offered to Krishna, but it's not in line with Sampradaya, it's not done with the proper attitude, it's done for your own particular religious benefit, or to impress others with your great devotion. We would say, well, that's not actually devotion. Though it's going through the motions of it. Does that make some sense? So there's this element, and this is an element of broad-mindedness. It's an important element to develop, to enhance preaching, is that we see is that whatever is going on, because we know what the standard is, we can see it for what it is. Meaning that people are going through things and are suffering and are endeavoring and they have feelings and, so many needs and all that. We can accommodate that, though it's of not great quality. Right? Rather than, we just deal with those who aren't, very strict devotees. It is the standard, but that's it. And anything below that doesn't even, come into our, purview. Am I getting anywhere here? Let us say, like this. Okay. You see, let's say, two materialists interacting in an emotional way. The tendency is to walk by, wow, look at those guys in Maya. Right? And because they're in Maya, therefore there's this kind of feeling of repulsion or something to, distance yourself from it, But if they suddenly go, oh, Hare Krishna, and, came over, then we might talk to them. But otherwise, there's no question that we would want to interact with such mundaners. So, that's okay. It keeps us fixed. It keeps us focused on devotional service. It gives us an identity, and so it gives us that determination that we will be able to push forward. So it's okay as a mentality, but it's not a great mentality. It's okay for the beginning. But more mature would be is, here are people, they're interacting, they're very, how do you say, sincerely want real relationships. And they've made them, and they think that that interaction between them is actually what's going to satisfy them and give them happiness. But we see that they're constantly frustrated and disturbed. So what they actually need is to understand their real relationships with Krishna and the devotees based on the principles of devotional service. So therefore I should try to find a way that such persons would become interested to contact the devotees. Right? Does that make sense? That's broad-minded. That's the meaning of of Mahatma. It's very different mentality. So, in other words, you're able to. Why it's important for preaching? One is naturally the compassion, and that's there. But just technically speaking, is if you can do like that, you can identify where they are and where Krishna is. Well, if they're just in Maya, it's just this big unknown mass, and they're in there somewhere, and here's Krishna. So until they come out of there onto your turf, you know, and what I call is someone who's sincere, it doesn't, there's, how can I deal with it? So they have to come from there to here. Then they can preach, which is okay in other ages, but Advaitacharya had the problem is that they're in that mass and they're staying there. So only Lord Chaitanya can come and deal with that mass of Maya. Like that. Because for the Vaishnavas, you can see them for what they are exactly. And at the same time as one is not critical. One understands it's not an ideal position, so it's not a great position to be in. And what they're looking for, they will actually get. They think they'll get happiness, they won't get it. They'll get some temporary now and again some relief. But it's not going to be satisfying. So if we really have compassion, then we will be able to go and work on their level, right? It's just like, okay, you have a man, I give in charity and this and that. I give money. It goes to some NGO who does something with it. And it somehow or at some point gets down to a glass of milk to some kid and, you know, in some unfortunate situation. So you can say, yes, this man is charitably disposed. But what would you say compared to that of that person who actually goes on site to where those kids are and spends their time and their money working at that platform? You would consider that that person takes his charity even more seriously, right? Isn't it? Because he's putting relationship into it. So he's a, and he doesn't go, you know, it's like that person who gives in charity would be, probably make it more clear, would be happy to give the money, and you'd have to say he's charitable. But if you suddenly brought along a bunch of, you know, nitty kids, you know, and plunked them down, you know, in front of him, he might kind of be brushing off his suit that they're getting to, this is, you know what I'm saying? It is burning away the sin that was created when they were human. No? But because they're not conscious of it, and they're fully committed to eating the grass, they think it's great, therefore the results are slow. You know, they have to be, you know, so many lifetimes of this, so many lifetimes of that, and, you know, so many animal species. Generally when they mention for one particular crime, it's generally multiple animal species one goes through. Some of them are just a specific, but some of them are multiple to burn off a reaction. But it is burning off the reaction, so that means it is austerity. Does that make some sense? So that principle, when it answers your question, I mean, at least I hope it answers the question, then you can apply that in your preaching. And at the same time, you can use that into any field. In other words, as Krishna's standard, that is the standard. Anything else other than that is not the standard. But how to understand, how to bring people from wherever they are away from that standard towards the standard. Right? Because shortest distance is between two points, right? So if you know where Krishna is, you don't know where anybody else is, then how are you going to do anything, right? Or you know Krishna, but you don't know what his standards are. Because those are the standards. It's not a matter of we have standards, they have standards, everyone has standards. No, there's only one standard, it's Krishna's. Then we apply it according to time, place, and circumstance and make it work. Right? You know, like the example, you know, that devotee who was one of the Bowery bums, I think. And then they told him, well, you know, I think it's, well, you know, you have to offer everything Krishna, wine you can't offer, but the pure water that's within the wine you could offer. And I think it was 2 weeks, I think it was 10 days or 2 weeks, and that person was moved into the temple. So it worked. So he started off where he was. They didn't all know, you're a Bali bum, you drink, this is nonsense. No, okay. You offer the pure water in your wine to Krishna. And from taking then 2 weeks, he was shaved up. Does that make sense? So that's preaching. You know, that's the broad line of talent. Is that okay? Oh, just because it's 9, I should end here, and then we'll continue with questions afterwards. Okay, so end here. So, Grantarachan and Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavinoda ki, Jayanta Gauru ki.
Every endeavor has a home.
Also, austerity.
Yes.
Austerity. Chaitanya Charitamrita Mahaprabhu was actually the weak standard because of the devotional service.
Yes.
He was mentioning Nisita Achar, and someone behaves without Nisita, wants to have Achar. Puja, consideration of Krishna, Loma, contemplation of the great brothers. So, how to perform austerity with Yukta Vaidasya? Rama himself is a Vikasana. He says, he doesn't even call him a Vikasana. Whatever he does is like spending as a Shakta.
So, question is that when we perform our devotional activities, then along with that, then we bump into difficulties in devotional service. Those difficulties then cover the form of anarthas. So, how to avoid in the performance of our natural performance of austerity anarthas? Like that. Because, I mean, the example is given, every action is covered by fault. So, the point is that one is doing the best one can. That is the principle. Is that whatever is the best you can do today is what you should be doing, and that's the best. Right? Means there is a standard, but then there's the thing of sincerity, right? By sincerely performing the activity, that means you're doing it for purpose of elevation, purpose of pleasing, right? That's what we want. So then, an honest person sees that as good. That's why it's very important to be broad-minded, because then one sees that what the endeavor is. So now in that, that's how we would see the other person. So if there is a weakness or a fault, it doesn't really matter because they're making that endeavor. So as long as as they perform that, it will improve. Because by performing devotional service, the knowledge and detachment will come. So that means the quality of their activity will increase. From their own soul, we don't have to worry, as long as that sincere endeavor is there, no matter what it's like. Like I was just listening to these old tapes of Prabhupada singing and the devotees singing. And if you listen to it, I mean, the devotees sung, the tune that the devotees sing are tunes that we all know very well. But if you actually listen to what Prabhupada's singing, he's singing something different. He's actually singing a raga. And using all these, like, you know, quarter notes and other things like that. You can see there's a slight subtlety in how he uses it. And then the devotees just, you know, in their enthusiasm come out with the tune that we know today. But Prabhupada was happy, you know, they're there banging away and, you know, playing anything, and like they had an old broken piano and someone would play on it like a, you know, like a swarmandal and all kinds of things. I'm listening to this one old thing, there's all kinds of instruments in the background. The devotees are playing all these instruments. So Prabhupada was just happy that they were fully absorbed. They can't get the tune right. Their attitude may be funny, they dance crazy, you know, they're thinking of it in the meditation and the peace and all these, and whatever it is, but they're chanting, and he's happy, right? You know, all these hippies are doing circle dances around Jagannath, sitting with no clothes on a stump in the middle of the park, right? But they're all chanting and absorbed, so he's happy. But it's not that he left it like that. And that's good enough, and he didn't want to say anything more because then maybe, you know, something he lost. No, he gradually raised the standard. Because as they're purified, they're able to appreciate. Right? You know, early days, Prabhupada gave a little bit on the deity worship and said, you know, here this is, devotees are enthusiastic. Oh, tell us more. And he says, why don't you tell us, you know, he said this is a part. Why don't you tell us all of this? As I told you, you'd faint. But then years later, then he asked the devotees to write on the deity worship rules. Right? But at that time, it was, you know, you just then needed to be more. Does that make sense? So that's how that broad-mindedness is able to be applied. Same time as the other person, just because it's appreciated doesn't mean that's good enough. Right? So one should always be trying to improve or develop. That is also a weakness, is that whatever I've done today, then if I could do more tomorrow, I don't, because whatever I did today was good enough. Well, no, it was good enough yesterday. But today you can do better. So therefore, if you don't do better, then it won't be up to standard. So that pride, that ego, that self-centeredness, then those are actually the problem. Like that. Because it all goes back to mentality. It means the quality of the service is an indication of the consciousness. Right? It means if you really want it to happen, you're going to make the endeavor to figure out how to make it work. You're going to work it out. Right? You're going to figure out what needs to be done and work it out. Right? Like that.
In a sense, first, austerity is like selling a bark. But then when the activity becomes pleasurable, it's not more an austerity.
No, it's still an austerity, but it's not that you like doing austerity. You know? It's like, if something is introduced to you by someone who likes it, even though it's an austerity, you like it. Right? Let us say someone likes to cook. So then if you're on a Sunday feast in the kitchen with them, it's nice for you. Even though it's the same hard work, or you were someone who likes to clean the pots, you know, they're enthusiastic about cleaning the pots, you'll gain from them that pleasure, you know, or someone likes to serve prasadam, you know, you'll gain that from them. So even though it's an austerity, it still is, but it's not, it's not necessarily perceived that way. So that's an important thing, because otherwise then this gets in the way of you know, the development or refinement of devotional service, or understanding, because then we'll say, unless it's austere by this Kuta Yoga principle, means I'm doing something very harsh, obviously, to get some benefit, it's not austerity. Right? So then the tendency is, oh, devotees aren't austere anymore. Or, no, but they are. If you properly perform your service, whether it's in a nice environment or not nice environment, it's austerity. Right? The facilities are nice, you know, I mean, four of the devotees had, I think the first bus they got or something was, you know, an old hippie bus that had a hole in the floor and the exhaust would come in and they put a board over it. There were no seats. They got a chair and put it in the front of the Prabhupada to sit in. You know, so, you know, you can't exactly say that was a great bus. You know, now we may have better buses. But the point is, it's what you're using the bus for. That you're in that bus going to do service to Krishna, that's austerity. You could be somewhere else. Isn't that so? So our definition of austerity simply means actually the proper performance, the, proper performance of appropriate duties. That's austerity. Because the whole idea is relation. Here, Brahma is the creator, so by his doing his tapasyas that he did, then it creates that bond between him and Krishna. Who Krishna, who is the creator? Krishna's primary creator, he's secondary creator, Brahma. So then that bond, that connection is through that austerity. Some relationship is created. So we tend to think of austerity in a self-centered way. It's my austerity, I'm fasting, I'm this and I'm that, and so many things like that. That's nice. It's good. It's better than being self-centered and sensual. You know. But being austere, but being able to get involved in others. We once had one devotee working in the school. He had an ashram of 80 students. It was years, actually. I think it was 2 years before I knew that every Ekadasi, he did a full nirjal fast and chanted 64 rounds. Because you wouldn't notice it in the service. I mean, there would not be any difference because these fasteners chanting, he would still be there serving prasad, doing everything. I mean, it was just another day as far as the service went. But, you know, instead of eating other things, then he was chanting and, you know, all these different things. So, it was 2 years before I found out that that's what was going on. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the point, is that because austerity is there, it doesn't mean that it has to somehow or another set us apart, make us special, cut off opportunities for interaction and relationship. That's the natural tendency. In personal austerity, is it cuts me off from relationship. The Vaishnava austerity is for the purpose of relationship. You might restrict it in one place for developing in another, but the point is relationship. While the one is I restrict relationships with others for doing my austerity, and my enjoyment from it will also restrict me from others, because I'll be so proud and so absorbed in my own pleasure in this interaction that I won't, you know what I'm saying? In other words, it's impersonal austerity will be impersonal results. The one is personal austerity, it's personal results. So then, in here, definition of mature, I mean, if we're taking definition of austerity, meaning for proper performance of religious duties, then, as you mentioned, Grihastha Ashram. Like point is that it appears Brahma's not, even though he's a Grihastha, he's not really one. But actually, if one actually understands what are the austerities of Grihastha life, then you'll understand he is. And actually, what is Grihastha life? Like that. Because Grihastha life is personal. Like that. But Grihamani will have the element of impersonal to it.
like that. It can also be very pious and personal, but one's purpose is self-centered, like that. I guess you could be a really just nice guy, but still being a nice guy is the purpose. Like Yudhishthira was attached to truth. So he's telling truth, so it looks like, oh, he's always looking for higher, but it's actually ultimately it was for his own pleasure. That's why that Krishna at one point, even though it was a whole lifetime of him being, you know, Dharma Raj and this and that, at one point when Krishna pushed the envelope and shows actions for you. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, and Krishna, he has a tendency to do this. You know, because I say he likes the quality of interaction.
Krishna can be twisted and he's okay.
It's yeah, twisted, but it's a matter of
comes out truthful at the end.
Yeah, because truth is Krishna. What pleases Krishna is truth. What doesn't please Krishna is not truth. So now here means austerity in grihastha life would mean basically four things, and everything else you can expand it from here. It means, because we were saying proper performance of duty is austerity. So the fundamental four principles of grihastha austerity, then are given by Prabhupada, I think, in the third canto. I think it's in the where it talks about Pritimaras. I think it's third Mrs. Plus. So then there he's mentioning that for the man he is sense controlled. And for the woman she is chaste. Right? Then it doesn't mention sense control, it mentions chastity. Then that's the natural position you function from. That's like the sthayi bhava. Now to operate that, then the man uses sensitivity and the woman uses satisfaction.
Contentment.
Yeah, contentment, satisfaction.
Because sometimes satisfaction they think that until I get satisfied.
Yeah, that's fair. But generally that's the end. So, but those two are balanced. To that degree that the man is sensitive, to that degree the woman can be satisfied. Right? To that degree he's sense controlled, to that degree they can be chaste. It goes that way. And since the feminine depends upon the masculine, it has to start from the masculine. The woman starts it, it's artificial. Because they'll do it. It's like, you know, kickstarting, you know, your car. You shouldn't have to do it. You shouldn't have to get out of your car and push it. But you will, but you won't push it all the way down to the store. No, you'll push it far enough to get it to start. If it doesn't start, then you'll leave it and go catch a taxi. So the women will try to kickstart the men in areas that they should be functioning in. But if it doesn't start, then they drop it. So these are the austerity, going out and working all day, you know, not getting enough rest on sometimes. That's not the austerity. Those are the easy parts. The tough part is dealing with the emotional platform that we just mentioned, being self-controlled and being sensitive.
Proper interaction,
yeah. That's austere. Because it's like this. If someone cuts you with a knife, it hurts. It will heal up and go away. If someone cuts your heart with emotion, you can still be remembering it, you know, a long time. Yeah, oh yeah, you're my friends. So, That's the point, is that the real austerity is subtle, it's not gross. That's the main mistake, is that we mistake that it is gross. Grihastha life is the externals, but it's not. Grihastha life means where you manifest these subtleties. You have to do it. A brahmachari is sense controlled. And if it doesn't, then the teacher chastises him, but that's it. It's intellectual, the chastisement. You know, here's a rule, you're breaking it, don't do that. Right. But when you get into grihastha life, you can't control the senses. Like that, it means you not even have a woman telling you. Right? Does that make sense? That hurts more. So the stakes are much higher. So the real austerity is being able to apply those four principles to every aspect of your grihastha life. I mean everything. Right? You know, as I was going to say, how do you use the toothpaste? Do you grab it in the middle and squeeze it? Or do you grab it at the end? Yeah, okay. But why grab it at the end? Yeah, but why bother with that? Because if it's all crumpled up and everything, you can still get it out, you know. Afterwards, they get whacked a bit, you know.
It's the proper way.
It's the proper way, okay. That's according to the religious of that, okay. But now, if you're sharing that tube of toothpaste with others, yeah. No.
They would squeeze it anymore.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so, but is that, you like that?
No.
No, you like coming up and picking up a tube of toothpaste and squish anyway. Okay. So, like that, that's why for the men, they must be sensitive. Women are automatically sensitive. In other words, man has to be sensitive because a woman is automatically sensitive. Right? Woman has to be satisfied because the man is just the basic thing that he gets, he is. So this puts them on equal level. They want to be, means the rasa means it's equal. But then you have to put yourself on that. Because the man is done, you know, he's gotten some result, he's happy, he's satisfied. But if the man does that for the woman and she's not satisfied, they're not on equal level, so where's the relationship? And man can only tolerate so many times that the woman just keeps going, keeps going, keeps going, with no apparent logic. And then it's just like, it's either he's going to turn off or blow up. And then the woman's going to be, you know, what's the trick? It's because she's not performing her austerity of being satisfied. I mean, she makes the endeavor, it doesn't mean she's going to perfect it. Just like the man tries to be sensitive, but he can never be as sensitive as the woman. So he's endeavoring towards it. The man is sensitive because women generally are sensitive. Because their modesty is shyness, they always pull back. Men are aggressive, and women always pull back. So even something they want, they'll say no. So therefore, sense control is not their problem. Chastity is. Because they work on the... Man is like, I pick out what I want. I go and I look at something, I have 10 options. I go and go through them one by one, and I figure out, oh, only these two options, and I'm about this option finish. Rest of his life, you know, the guy can eat the same khichdi day in, day out for the whole life and be happy. Right? Women can't. For women, it's options. Right? How many options I have, and then, therefore, then which one I at the in the moment I'm into, therefore then I will be absorbed in that. So therefore then there's the thing is, you know, they want the husband at the house, right? They want the kids all there, you know, but they want to talk on the phone at the same time. The husband wanted to go do something else, but he can't because he has to be there because it's her time. But since it's her time, then she's talking on the phone with her friends. And not only that, but she invites over some other people, this and that, and then the guy's sitting there thinking, where's the interaction? But the point is if there was a moment, or the moment came up where she'd want to interact, it wasn't there, then she'd do that. So that's the austerity. those kind of, how do you say? Yeah, so options, therefore, then chastity, because in your options, you know, there's so many things. You know, this guy's wealthy, this one looks good, you know, that one's, you know, cute, this one's a smooth talker, this one's, you know, it means you can ask them anything. Go on and on and on. You can ask the women that, don't you say anything like that. You know what I'm saying? You can ask them, well, which guys are qualified here, and they'll go on, but never say, this lady's qualified, or that lady's qualified, or like that. If you know anything about Hiroshima, you'll avoid that. Does that make sense? So, in other words, where one has the quality, the other one doesn't. So the other one has to make that endeavor to bridge that. Right? Man tends to not be sensible, just what he wants, he goes for. Right? Well, the woman, whatever she wants, she'll pull back. So, does that make sense? So, it has to be done. So, you cannot be sensitive if you're not sense-controlled. So, that's actually what sense-control is. It's not in, okay, you know, you're not in bed every night with the lady. The sense-control is that how you speak to them, how you deal with them. That takes more.
The more gross, the less sensitive.
Yeah.
Because of subtle.
Yeah, so the subtlety is that's where the thing. So in the beginning, people may see it from the external, from the gross. And that's where their apples start there. Right? Gross austerity. Okay, they don't do anything with their wife on festival day, or, you know, when she's off the altar, or, okay, that's the gross. But the subtle is that they don't say the wrong thing at any time. They're always, you know, noticing what they do, you know. It means they in their, you know, for whatever reason, are very much into, you know, all the things, look nice, this, that, so, but if no one notices, right? The other ladies notice, but, you know, they expect the men to notice. So if they don't notice, it means the man's insensitive. So he has to be sensitive.
Too engrossed in himself.
Yeah, like that. Or he's just was seeing something else. He didn't notice. Or she always looks good, so he didn't think, yeah, but no, every time it has to be said.
Notice the gross sides.
Yeah. Because everything is going to be subtle. So if we see from this, just examples of all this, where to make the point that austerity is different than necessarily we make it out to be. You know, like he had Mahatma Gandhi, you know, it's being austere, he put a knife in the bed between him and his wife. You know, so that, you know, if he got too enthusiastic, you know, we might get skewered, you know, like that. So, okay, that's there, nice, but that's not where the real sense is. Real sense control is not saying what you like to say. Because just as they're different, so their perspective of it generally is 180 degrees of what yours is. Right? Like that? It means the man is sitting there, the woman's on the phone. Okay? He's thinking, I'm wasting my time. I could have done those things I wanted to do and come half an hour later. But she demanded no, I'm there at that time. So in the man's mind, and that would be a lack of relationship. She's not caring. But actually, it's out of attachment she wants you there, even though she's on the phone. Does that make sense? The attachment's so much, even if she's talking on the phone, doing something else, and paying no attention to you, the attachment's so great she wants you there. Because in her own mind, she just knows it's there, because that's security. Because right? Feminine depends on masculine. Right. It means Shakti is dependent on Shaktiman. Right. It has a meaning. Okay? You know what I'm saying? So, it's the exact opposite. But the man doesn't pay attention, it's because he is just absorbed in his own thing.
That's why he cannot be independent, because automatically he's without a Shaktiman.
Yeah.
It operates erratically.
Yeah. But the point is even with, it still will be erratic. But it'll be fixed at one point. It means a flag flaps in the wind. It's erratic. But at the end, it's connected to the flagpole. That's the chastity. But because it's flapping around, it has to be satisfied. So that in other words, why the other party does something generally is the opposite of what your perspective is. So therefore, then that ability to discuss. That's why Prabhupada again and again says the spiritual husband, the religious wife, they discuss things. Because otherwise, how do you know? They're so different. So unless it's discussed, you won't know. So the austerity is what you do know, work according to it, whether it makes sense or not. And what you don't know, don't just rush ahead and just come to conclusion. But know what are the principles, the science of which it's working. And so then it makes no. So basically, if you didn't learn to, you know, be fully subservient, sense-controlled to under, you know, how you say, the temple commander, the temple president, or the spiritual master like that, you will learn under a wife if you're going to make it work. So that's the whole point, is that those who can learn that completely under the teacher don't have to get married. That's called the Naistika Brahmacharya. Those who learn the concepts of it but haven't imbibed it, they get married. And then the practical is learned under the wife. Like that. You say under here meaning the emotions. It means if you're going to make it work, they're going to force you to be sensitive. They're going to force you to be sensitive. Like that. So that's why it's recommended that one have a very solid and focused brahmachari training, because then it will make it so much easier and more pleasant for all involved, husband and wife and children, if it's already been basically accomplished as a brahmachari, and now you're just refining it. Does that make sense? But if you haven't learned that before, then unless you're a really fast learner, the relationship can't work. Because that's the point. When the man is sense-controlled, says that the woman is chaste and satisfied, you have a marriage that lasts a lifetime. But if any of those are missing, it can be missing in the beginning, but very quickly it has to catch up. Otherwise, it won't work. It will break up. It has to. So the more that has been done before marriage, then the easier marriage will be. Because it's actually, of all the ashrams, the most austere. Because it means you have to tolerate everything. Right? You know what I'm saying? The brahmachari is someone who's going to yell at him for being stupid or doing something wrong. But it doesn't carry that emotional punch, or let's say, you know, yeah, whatever terms you want to use, crush, slice, chop, you know, roast, that if family members say it because of feeling of, you know, emotional dissatisfaction. Does that make sense?
When father was talking to me, he said, "I'm crushed because my 11-year-old son asked me, 'Peter, when you die, I'm going to inherit all these things.'" Like basically saying, "So when?"
So, when you getting old? You're not 93, are you?
No. Peter, the only one didn't mean it.
No, he just thought, oh, when you go, it just struck him, because he probably just learned about inheritance, or someone mentioned that, and then it struck him. So that's why, in the beginning, one never reacts. That's one of the major austerities of a grihastha, is not to get angry with any of his relatives. I mean, any of them. Because the reason behind it and all that is sometimes very different than what it is, and the situations they're in and what they're dealing with are a big problem. You know what I'm saying? like that. And so you're going into a problem area. You know, basically you're going into an area of emotional insanity. So one can't go in there and think everything should be nice just because I'm a man. No, then why are you there? Right? It means it's just like this. The fireman has tools and methods to control fire. Right? He goes, but where does he do it? Sitting behind his desk. The fire comes to him and goes. A fire very nicely comes up gently, can I sit on the desk and then there, and then he just takes his hand and puts it out. Okay, yes, I'm a great fireman. Right. No, he goes to the fire. He has to go to the fire. And when he's dealing with the fire, even though the, how do you say, the skills of dealing with the fire is, but which skill is going to be used at which time and to what degree is according to the fire. Right. You understand that at one point, your grahastha life will work. You don't understand that, never work.
It's a problem.
Yeah. Because the point is that's the thing. So the so-called masculine mentality thinks that submission means they just do whatever I say and I just sit there. But where's the relationship? It's a very impersonal concept. The point is that the man sets the standards, but within the standards, the unlimited variety of how you can apply it and combine it, that's the key. So masculine means that he deals with whatever is the activity at that moment that the female is doing. He doesn't expect, oh, I'll do this. No, it's not like that. He comes home after being out all day. One option is she greets him pleasantly. One option is she's sulking. One option is she's distressed. Another option is she's busy with, distracted by something else in the house, or some emergency, some kid's sick. There's a lot of options. But they're all within the standards that are there. Which one it's going to be, you can't say. The grihastha man cannot at any time claim, yes, when I come home then she's going to be like this.
No, sir. What I find out is that the persons who have Vaishnava Achara, then they behave always the same, properly, if they try their best to follow Vaishnava Achara.
No, behave that to the same here is you're behaving best, but which best you're going to get. That's the point. That's the meaning. You know. Otherwise, if you're looking for every day exactly the same, why bother getting married? You just hang out with the boys. It's the same every day. Same sport, same weather, same politics. You know, like that. So, that's the austerity. Is understanding as basically being sensitive and sense controlled. Because if one is sensitive and sense controlled, then one can deal with the moment and not get angry. And one can understand what to do and how we should function there. Because wherever it is that you catch from there, then it will always move.
When you say sensitive, basically means the sixth sense that is paramount.
Sixth sense, yeah.
You just try to make the other person.
Sixth sense, but also humility. One has to be humble. I think it was Maharaj Kulishekar. No. Isn't that the same? It's one of the Kerala kings. I think it was Kulishekar. In one of his prayers, he's saying that, I sit in my court. I am the king. You know, the people who come before him, their lives are in his hands. You know, life and death is there in his hands. The criminal's gone, this one comes, that. He makes all these big policies. Everyone's coming, he's the man. Everyone's bowing down to him, and life and death is his. But, after the court, when he goes into the inner chambers, where the wives stand, then he has to bow his head and do things what they say. That was much good. Okay. Which you couldn't make a So that's the point. And these are great pious people who knows what's going on. That's there. You do that, then it's understood. Because the point is women know what austerity is and this and that. They appreciate it. They're the most sensitive to it. The men may or may not notice a brahmachari or sannyasi is austere. Women always notice it. That's why they have many times more respect for brahmacharis and sannyasis than their equivalent in men. Like that. Because they know what austerity is. So if a man has it, they know it. And when he's, because when you're austere, the tendency is to not be sensitive. When you're sensitive, to not be austere, right? Why this has a problem here is that we think of it, okay, the man's sensitive. Then we think of this weak guy, you know, mama's guy, who's, you know, 40s, living at home with his mother, right? Okay, he's a lawyer, he has a BMW, that's good. You know, he's at home with his mother. But, so he's sensitive, but we take it as weak. Because because that's the natural tendency, is the sensitivity, the senses, and that, because that's the way women are. And then if we're sense controlled, then we're harsh, we're hard, unrelenting, don't move, don't interact. So these are the two positions that men can be in, completely controlled by women, and completely just, you know, fanatically have nothing to do with them. If you can combine those two, that's grihastha.
You were saying that Krishna is the standard.
Yeah.
So Krishna is caring. So when we put this caring factor into the marriage, then it's devotional service towards the women and the children.
Yeah.
So this would be the sensitivity?
Sensitive, yeah. You're caring, but it's also the caring means caring not necessarily just on your, according to your standard. Caring means according to their standard. But in doing it, it shouldn't break your standards. You know what I'm saying? But how you're going to go about it is according to them. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is you're taking two contradictory things, seemingly, and putting them together. It's interesting, for the men, they have to practice two contradictory things. For the women, the chastity and satisfied basically are the same. You know what I'm saying? Because they are contradictory, so their process is not contradictory, that's austerity. You know? For the men, they're not contradictory, but their process is contradictory. And so you're taking these two opposites, and when you put that all together, it matches, it fits. Okay. So, in other words, our definition of austerity, you know, then needs to be seen as performance of prescribed duties. Like that. Then we see is that already devotees are austere. Now how to improve that, develop that, cultivate that. Does that make some sense? Well, it's just, you know, physical, okay, that's nice. You know, that deals with eating, sleeping, maybe defending, which is good. You know, pancharatras for doing that. But it's already worked in, you know. So it's not so much a separate endeavor, it's a quality of doing it. You know? And that the service continues, everything. So, but the refinement we see is austerity is actually more the mentality. You know? And because of that, then we will perform activities that are actually austere. You know what I'm saying? Man will, you know, perform some activity rather than stay at home all day, you know, to maintain the family. The wife will be doing activities to maintain the household, you know, like that. You know, the kids are studying. And everybody's doing something in there. Otherwise, everyone said, if everyone just decided, oh, we'll just sit at home and enjoy, then how long could that go on? Right? Because one, you're going to run out of money. Two, you know, the place is going to be a mess. And then on top of that, three is, how do you decide if you don't have a set standard what is enjoyment of the family? Well, how do you define? So in other words, you do have to, in anyone, still create an austerity, right? Just let's say they want to eat together. So then how does that work? Everyone just eats what they want, when they want, where they want? No, they have to go through the austerity, all eating the same thing at the same time in the same place. Right? Then it stays together. Otherwise, yeah, you stay home, just that everyone will just do their thing and have nothing to do with the other. So austerity has to create relationship. Right? If it doesn't create relationship, then it's this kuta yoga. It's self-centered. And it creates relationship. Therefore, you know, somebody is going through austerity of cooking and making the arrangements. You know, and you have serving, you have all sitting there eating together, and, you know, proper conversation, and appropriate dress, and appropriate arrangements for eating. And so, those are all the natural austerities. Because otherwise, you can just come in, open the fridge, grab something, go off to, you know, turn on the television, eat there, leave the bowl on the side, dribble some on the couch and on the floor, and, you know, and hurry ball, you know. Does that make sense? So, yeah. That, so, it's a matter of there's no such, you can't just enjoy. Therefore, Krishna-related pastimes means there's endeavor. People are doing, they're not always together. Krishna's not always with the gopis, or always with the cowgirls, or always with Mother Yashoda. It keeps moving and changing.
And austerity can be enjoyed, or it can be part of spiritual process.
Yeah, yeah, austerity, yeah, needs to be part of it. Yeah, that's the way to take that about it, but also just, us like this. Midnight, getting up, going to the bathroom, no lights on. Problem. That's in a locked house. Right? Let's take another scenario. Girl, midnight, forest that's from here to Krishnagar, she's going to go through that alone. So then, you know what I'm saying? So there, you know, or let's say, so that's an austerity. Boys, playing, killing each other, fighting, wrestling. That's natural. Boys sitting in front of Mother Yashoda in her house, all sitting in a line, very quietly and peacefully eating prasad, not killing each other, not wrestling, not throwing the food at each other. Austere. But when they go out into the field, hey, everything goes. Steal each other's lunch, going around. Wrestle this, that, and the tricks. So everybody has their austerity. Mother Yashoda, Krishna at home, all day, feeding him, you know, bathing him, making arrangements for him that night. Krishna with his cowherd boys leaving, going to the forest, not coming back until, you know, the evening time. That's austerity. Right? So, therefore, through the austerity, then the relationship can be expressed. If there's no austerity, there's nothing to express. Like that. You know, have you ever heard of them saying, we've heard things like, you know, yeah, I was away all day, I missed you, I thought of you all day, right? We've heard of things like, you know, statements, you know, one was away during the day. You know, while I was away, I was thinking of you, I missed you, you know, so nice to be with you now, and everything, right? That's so nice, and they enhance relationship. Have you ever heard things like, yeah, I'm sitting here with you now, and we've been sitting here together all day, and you know, since, you know, as long as I can remember, we've always been sitting here, and, you know, and, yeah, I'm saying, is that going to enhance the relationship? So like that, you know. And I know we're still going to be sitting here next week, and, you know. And they're saying it may not be like that, so therefore there's the element of, yeah. And that then increases relationship, as Krishna always wants it to increase. Okay. Anything else? How to deal with that when, okay. Are you down there? Saying is that in Kali Yuga you have these home situations that aren't ideal. So, you know, like one parent families and other things like this where one person ends up having to be both and things like this and you grow up like this. And so how to deal like this, how to correct. Main thing is to understand mentality because the externals don't really matter. Just to give a, you know, simple, like, let's say, external example. I don't know if it's still there now, but I went to, in China. They had one outfit everybody wore, the same gray pants, gray shirt. But I know they had size 36 and they had size 40. That's all they had. Maybe they had different sizes for ladies, I'm not sure. They all worked. They all did the same thing. So I noticed that depending upon what was the situation and what was that, what was more practical for work, either the husband cooked or the wife cooked. And afterwards, depending on what was more practical, the husband cleaned or the wife cleaned. So as far as household duties and this and that, then what we would claim, you know, generally consider as the male duties, human, it didn't matter. They were all trained to, in that way it's the same. But they were very masculine or feminine. Like that. Because masculine and feminine is a mood, not what you do. The grosser we are, the more we connect them. Because they naturally go together. But if we connect them, then it's not necessarily, how do you say, works. Like you take, so you could, though generally no one would, but you could say, well, that's feminine. You know, so it's masculine, you know, you bite it off with your teeth or something, you know, it's like that. Or, you know what I'm saying? But, so, in other words, anything well done then has that feminine element to it. That softness to it. So that's not a problem. That's not actually what makes the femininity. That's the feminine aspect of any skill. You know, and any skill is like that, doesn't matter what it is. So there's something in the wrist, you know, even you're pulling the lever for the guillotine, but there's something in the wrist there, you know. You know, it may be gross when he first started, but by the end of the French Revolution, I'm sure that he had a, you know, just a nice little, you know, before, like this, you know, just, you know, something, you know, so there's some flair to it. So it's, that's just the masculine, feminine functioning within the interaction of the material elements, you know, of what we would call skilled. But actual masculine and feminine is actually the platform from which you basically, your perspective of whether it's coming from intelligence or emotion. Intelligence of the mind. That's what makes the difference. So no matter how rough and gross, still there's an element that you have to be careful of. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you have to be able to distinguish between activities that would be, let's say, typically labeled as masculine and feminine, and the mentality of masculine and feminine. It's just like this. Okay, the guy wants a job. He comes into the office, he has his resume, he tries to, you know, present himself as together and this and that, and hopefully then the boss will be impressed with that. The lady could do that, but she could also come in and just be dressed really nice and kind of like make herself known that she's kind of available and nice to interact with. She may get a job. You know what I'm saying? So the whole idea is it doesn't matter what the activity is, the mentality can still remain male or female. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair.
You're placed in a situation where you're supposed to hand over more and hand over the care of the teacher of someone else. If you've never had that from your own father, you're trying to execute it from a mother, a medical thing. So that was my point, is it, you know, living in the whole idea of faith existence, is it okay if you've got those male and female relationships?
Yeah, yeah, no, no, what you're saying is fine. It's fine. Can you hear? We're all here? Yes. Yeah. Just to make it clear, is that basically, if you've grown up in an environment, here, example is you've grown up with no father, so therefore the girl needs to take care of herself more than if she was protected, so then this then has an effect when one gets married later of being able to function in that environment. So it's being, so that means that's the example. The question is then how is this, means it would appear here that the girl's having to take on a masculine mentality to take care of herself, and therefore, you know, what we're talking about of understanding the male and female doesn't seem to apply in this, you know, very, you would have to, how do you say, correct this for it to work nicely. Okay. See, okay. Is that okay? Yeah. So then. Yeah, yeah. So then what we're saying is it's because you have to know what actually is female and what actually is male. Because just like this, girl has no father, so she has to get things together herself. Mother works, so she has to take care and get herself home from school, fend off the boys. She's, you know, got to make some money on the side. If she wants her own cosmetics, her mother can't buy it. She has to do all these different things, right? So now, let us look at this. What has happened here is, in the mentality, because we're saying that she's had to take on the masculine mentality. No, it means she herself has to function within. So she's replaced the father, or the man, you know, the male figure here, with the control, I mean, with things and the control of things. Because things are masculine. And the control of things are masculine. Enjoyment of things is feminine. You understand? So therefore, the father's been replaced by all the things that she's gotten herself. And the security, in other words, a girl turns to the feminine turns to the masculine for security. So she has security now in the things that she has. So what those examples is, even though the externals and the activities may cross back and forth between what you call male and female, the approach to it will still be female. Like that. So if that's understood, then at any time with practice you can correct it. Because the difficulty in grihastha life is men don't know what men are, or women and vice versa. You know, because you'll say something and then the women will say, well, what about equality? Okay, that's fine. But that you're talking in skills in that. We're not talking mentality. You can't change mentality. That's impossible. You know, to say it can be changed is to say that we'll create fire that doesn't give light or heat. Or sugar that's not sweet, or water that's not wet. You can't change that. You can take water and freeze it, or, you know, make it into steam. But it's still water. So, if it's understood what is masculine, what's feminine, and how they actually interact, no matter what the situation, you can make it work. It doesn't matter. It still functions. Like that. Doesn't matter. That means that picture where the family in the snow, naked, being walked towards this big pit by guys and funny helmets with machine guns who are about to shoot him. The man is still having the masculine concern of his family, and the woman is still having her concerns. And you couldn't say that that was more less of an ideal grihastha situation. You understand? So you can't change that. So if that's understood, then you'll understand what you did. Now it would be that the weakness will be here is that you'll want to get things yourself because you don't trust someone to get them because your father didn't get them. But the husband is willing to get them, but you somehow or another, just by habit, always try to arrange it yourself or get control of it yourself, but he'll take care of it. So that's where the weakness will be. But if it's understood that that's what it is, then when he makes a comment on it, then one will understand it's just by not having that particular kind of active masculine security, you're taking care of the inactive or inanimate masculine security. And so it's just a matter of time of getting used to it. But, you know, now and again, it's just, you go into that mode, you know, it's just like, the guy's been on the battlefield and he's, you know, in the pub, and then somebody makes a sound or a noise or an action, and then he just somehow or another clicks and he's on the battlefield and just goes into fighting mode. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's just habit. It's just a matter of time when he realizes I'm not on the battlefield anymore. So if both understand that, then as you're saying, man is sensitive, so he knows she's gone through that, so he doesn't take it, you know, that, oh, she doesn't, I'm not the man, I don't, you know, like that, she doesn't trust me. No, it's a matter of just, you know, it's just bad habit, it'll correct itself. At the same time, if she knows what's the feminine, so now she doesn't have to get those things, because there is somebody there who'll do it. So the masculine element is taken care of, the feminine, it is taken care of.
The most fake aspect, the whole fake aspect will be the male aspect, because we are not male.
That's of course. And the most fake is the machissimo. like that. I don't know if I've explained it before. It's fakeness. This macho-ness, men-ness, this tough, cool, like that, is actually feminine. So the more macho they are, the more feminine they are, because an actual man is independent, so he doesn't care if you think he's cool or not. He is who he is, and it doesn't matter. Your recognition of him has nothing to do with him, his manliness. He is independent, he does what he likes, you like it or not. But the macho is dependent that the woman says he's cool and she's submissive, so he's dependent upon her to be male. So that actually creates feminine mentality. Very funny, but I mean amusing, that those who think they're the most male are actually in that particular aspect manifesting the most female. Well, you take, let's say,
the woman was the hero. That's why they want the husband or the woman.
Yeah, the hero is someone who does something. He looks nice, that he looks cute, but that doesn't mean he's a hero. He looks, you know, looks attractive. But that's not called hero. Yeah, that's beauty. But he does something means he's done something for her, saved her from some situation, you know, physical or social or emotional, or that's a hero. But that he looks cool, that's cute, that's nice, that's attractive. It's nothing to do with hero. I mean, you can be not very attractive and still be a hero, you know, so. And it's a different.
It's a sense of Krishna. Krishna is like the supreme male, and everybody else, female, trying to imitate him. So the male aspect here is just Prakriti trying to imitate Purusha.
Yeah, it is. But the point is, as we pointed out before, masculine means Krishna. What does he say in Bhagavad Gita? That's a pure masculine statement. As you surrender unto me, I reciprocate accordingly. That's masculine. Feminine is what mood I'm in right now, you're going to be with me. Right? So the two match perfectly. Because as you approach, that's how I'm going to reciprocate. So the feminine wants the masculine to be with me how I am right now. I'm in a bad mood, I don't want to see him laughing and joking. Like that. You know, it's got to be something complementary to her bad mood. You know, that will make her feel better. And that's what the male does. But the male, it's always you, it's all about you. That's a feminine statement. Because the feminine thing is what I'm into, that's what happens. You understand? So it's very subtle. Because that's why I keep making the point, is if you know it's masculine and feminine, there's no problem. Because people don't know what's perceived as is, the problem is that the women misidentify their control of things for security, which is replacing the male element. They've taken on a male mentality, but it's still feminine. But because they project that, it's masculine. And the masculine guys are always looking for, is a woman's going to come to me? You know, the woman follows the man, this, that, means follow, but means the guy's got to be going somewhere, doing something, right? He's just going to sit there, and then how do you follow someone? How do you follow a couch potato? Right? You know, put a chair behind the couch and sit there. You know, like that, you know. So, what's going on? I'm following my husband. See, he's in the chair. He's close to the remote. You know? My wife's so submissive, I get the remote, she's fine. Of course, she tells me which button to push. Yeah. So the men, in trying to establish their masculinity, actually become more feminine. And the women, trying to establish their femininity, become more masculine. So it doesn't work. And that's because neither of them actually know what they're talking about. The more feminist they are, the less they know actually what is feminine. And the more, you know, macho and masculine are, the less they know actually what's masculine. So you put that together, you know, two persons in ignorance like that, and it's disaster. So the more they know, the more it comes balanced. Because the point is, they're masculine, but you have to interact with the feminine. They're feminine, you have to interact with the masculine. Therefore, there's a point where it has to match. Right? But the masculine has to have this masculine matching point, and the feminine has to have this feminine matching. They don't match. There's a point where these two meet. Right? Everything has a point where they meet. You know, like here, Tulsi meets this top of this table. But if the top of the table looked like this, there'd be no meeting. So the bottom of Tulsi is flat, the top of this table is flat. The rest of this is not flat. That's flat because the floor is flat. This is the stand. We call it a stand because of this, not because of this in the top. Right? So, but because the stand has to have a relationship with the floor, it must have something that matches the floor, which is flat. And because it meets Tulsi, it has to have something that meets that. In between, it can manifest its standness. But at those two points, the relationship is completely regulated by what it meets with. You know, if it was a hole in the ground, then there wouldn't be the flat thing, then that would be a pole that would go into the ground. It would be a stand that goes into a hole. Yeah. Or if it was a clamp, it would have something that would match that. So the point of meeting, that's where the two have to know what they are and what the other is and where is the point of, right? Because masculine to feminine, there is a point that's in between. So you're coming from this side, you're coming this way, you're coming from this side. There has to be known what that point is. But what's behind that will be masculine or feminine. But there is a point of interactiveness. Is that okay? Yeah.
It's okay to be feminine.
Yeah, it's okay to be feminine, but...
Because otherwise, how are you matching this aspect?
Yeah, the girl who's okay with being feminine then has to be matched up with a guy who's okay with being masculine. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. So that's the thing, is they go both ways, is that masculine doesn't mean it's rough.
You just have to pick up the hard part.
Yeah.
And then it
means... Yeah. Well, it's like you take, let us say if you take the Western rough and ready dude, right? And you put him out on the street and it's time for a fight. Okay, and he's quite gross and rough and talks a lot and does this and that. Now let us say his opponent, you bring this Oriental guy who also is, you know, knows his art. And you put him there. Now, one would say, well, the Oriental guy is not very masculine in his movements and his talking and all this and that. But when you put the two together, and after, you know, the lights have gone out, which one's going to be on the ground? The so-called masculine guy, or the guy who's actually knows how to balance, you know, the masculine feminine principles. Right? Does that make sense?
For the point, for Vasudeva, do you end up in the fight?
Vasudeva
was very famous of Kutapita. That was the very special Vasudeva.
Okay. Oh, okay, he can get out of it. Yeah, because it's...
He could actually just get the sword and see it comes off, or just make up something, or make up a sword and fight against it.
Yeah, he's in the whole crowd. He's got 2,000 maidservants there. They just, you know, took their bangles. They could beat the guy in the pulp, you know.
But he was special.
We
just talked about. He didn't even get into the fight. There was a few other incidents also when Kamsa was arguing on something else with somebody else. Then also he came there and he smoothed out everything. I think it was the Swayamvara also before the marriage. The Swayamvara marriage. Yeah. That was the fight that came up. Kamsa was there to kill the other one and then Uttaran was there to kill Kamsa. But then he came up with an argument, a good argument, that everybody was fine. So that was...
Yeah, you could say it's not very masculine, it's intelligent, because intelligence is masculine. Cleverness is women, because it's with the mind.
Keeping everything in control, keeping the senses in control, keeping everything in control.
Yeah.
Not only sense control on his own side, but also make others to sense control.
Mm-hmm.
anything else?
But are you saying that the mentality is determined by the body?
Are the mentalities determined by the body? The mentalities are determined by the consciousness when the soul left the previous body. And so the bodies are therefore designed to create those things. But it's still based on the mind. Just like you're in a situation and you get a, how do you say, tightening in the stomach. That could be fear because it's dark, you know, and it's an unknown area and you heard some sounds. That could also be you're going to go into a situation that really you want to be in, but you're so excited about it that it's, you know what I'm saying? It's the same actual physical reaction, it's the same hormones that are creating it. But the mind perceives it as two different things. Like that. So, the body then creates all the different reactions and chemicals and all that for this thing, but along with that, the subtle body, then it, one gets that perspective. So, of the subtle body, when you look at, when you perceive the intelligence and ego from the platform of the mind, that will be feminine. When you perceive the other two from the platform of intelligence, that will be masculine. Because intelligence means there is no emotion involved. It's just these are the choices. There are three windows there. That's a fact. That's intelligence. And they are all, no, two are the same size and the one in the middle is a little bigger. That's intelligence. Whether that's nice or not, that's mind. I like that the two are there, should have been the three were the same, or, you know, that's the mind. So,
choices.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So men will look at what could be done, what I would like to do, and that I got it done. Right? The masculine will be, there are options of what could be done, whichever I'm in the mood for, that's what should be done, and the experience of it is what's nice, not necessarily the result. That's why women can, halfway through a conversation or show or anything, just stop and go somewhere else. You know, they're going along and the conversation changes and they just completely ignore what's going on the television and walk off and the man's going, what happened to the movie? Right? The man is, you're accomplishing watching a movie. For the woman, it's simply an environment in which a particular kind of experience could be tasted. But if there's something more attractive, then that takes precedent over this. Well, the man is getting it done and that's that, and his control is the thing. But for the woman, the experience of it is the thing. That's where the difference is. So if these things are understood, then you can, you know, the more you understand these things, then the more it means it will never be realized, but it can be intellectually understood that there's a difference and that's just the way it is and it's not going to change. You know? It's a matter of, no, it's that's the way it is, and the sooner you understand that and learn how to work with that, then the sooner you're going to be comfortable.
So in some
religions
of transcendent
can't be influenced by the mundane rasa, but they're influenced by the spiritual rasa. But the rasa is the same. It's the same principle. In other words, the situations, how they react in the spiritual world to different emotional interactions are the exact same as here. But the difference being, why? In the spiritual world, it's for Krishna's satisfaction. Here, it's for their own satisfaction. Right? And that's the difference. But otherwise, externally, it looks exactly the same. I mean, the men and women look the same. What they do and eat and activities are the same. So,
the rasa itself is the same, how it functions is the same, but the point is the sensual here is temporary, very short. Emotion is longer lived, but still temporary. But spiritual is eternal. So it's the same thing. You know, the quality of it is better in this and that, but it's the same thing. So that's why, because we can't tell the difference between spiritual and material, therefore we distance ourselves so much from material activity. And that's why you have brahmacharya ashram and these things, to distance yourself until you can tell the difference. But once you can tell the difference, then you can function within the grihastha ashram and deal with attachment and emotion and exchange, because you can tell the difference between spiritual and material. At the same time, as you understand, material functions on exactly the same technique as the spiritual, because it's a reflection. Right? It's just like you look in the mirror and you go like this, you know in the mirror it's like that. Or you see something on your face or something on the end of your nose, you see there and you go to that same point, you know, here. You know, because you can watch where your hand goes in the mirror. So it'll get to the same point. Because it's a reflection, so it's exactly the same way. The technique that is used in the spiritual world for male-female interaction is the same technique. If you want it to work, you have to use here. The difference is there it's being done to please Krishna, here we do it to please ourselves.
Sort of training process.
If you can do it to please Krishna, then it's non-different from the spiritual world. Because they do have husbands and wives and kids up there. They have families and they have, you know, pots and pans and cooking and eating, and there's no difference. That, but up there it's real, here it's a reflection, it's an illusion. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is the technique of it's the same. But the problem is unless you can tell the difference between, unless you look at it that actually the material is just a reflection of the spiritual, then it's a problem, because then you become like these Kuta yogis. You perform the Vedic activities but for your own purpose. That's why it's not actually important to stress so much the technique of material endeavor. Because what will happen, that's Mahabharata. Is Mahabharata is being written so that you know how to operate the material life to get spiritual success. The book's about the Pandavas and they got spiritual success. You know. So, but most people will only catch the mundane technique and lead very nice, pious, you know, satisfied material lives and have nothing to do with God. Right? So that's the fault. Therefore, the Bhagavatam then emphasizes more on Krishna. But if you notice, because the emphasis is so much on Krishna, we tend to not even notice that practically most of the stories are all about grihasthas. You know, Kardama, and you know, they're getting married or having kids. They even tell that, you know, he had, you know, copulation with his wife 9 times and therefore had the 9 kids and this and that, and you know, what kind of house he made for. You know, it gets down to details of what's going on, what part of the body's is showing. I mean, it gets into very exact, but because Krishna is prominent, it's not noticed. So that's the point, is the technique is used, but it's not noticed because there's a higher purpose, so you're focused on Krishna. So that's why it's a problem to emphasize the material technique if it's not in relationship to God consciousness. But as you emphasize the God consciousness, then, because being able to tell the difference between spiritual and material, let's say spiritual material emotion, is difficult, or an activity. So then the tendency is to not understand it. But if you present it straight, it will be caught, but then without Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So it's like a catch-22. You could present it so they catch it and understand. Like the same things that I'm telling you now, I could tell the same way, taking out the Krishna conscious part and just tell this is the technique, and everyone would go great. But then they do the technique and there would be no Krishna consciousness. So So he explained it in connection with Krishna consciousness, but then it sounds like philosophy and not practical culture. Practically ethical culture. If you do it, you can take it right now, this second, and it will work for you this second. But then it won't be caught. So it's kind of a difficult, you know.
So, just as a general guideline, the focus is on Krishna. Focus on the relationship with both of them. Yeah, everything is in the spirit of control.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Is that it means we say Rishikesha, Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, that you're engaging your senses in the service of the Lord in the senses. So we're just dealing with senses, we don't have something else. You know, we said mind, it's still the 11th sense. But so senses of what we're dealing with is just a matter of it's to please Krishna or ourself. So the problem is not senses, the problem is not attachment, we're trying to become attached to Krishna. The problem is not relationships. The problem is that we do all these things separate from Krishna. But because we can't tell the difference, we don't even know what spiritual is. Therefore, we put sideline modes for some time, or however long it takes for somebody to realize that. So therefore, in brahmacharis, there's no, you know, relationships, there's no sense gratification, there's no emotion, there's no nothing. Until they can tell that, okay, this is spiritual. Then when they can tell that, then you can start to deal with how that reflects as material. So if you go from the material to that's what it is, the spiritual, it's okay. You know, but it has a tendency is that it's okay that I'm involved materially. You do it from the spiritual coming back, which is superior, but then there's the problem of thinking that, well, it is Krishna, and so therefore it's also okay. So it's got to be that no, we're trying to please Krishna, we use the technique connected with Krishna, remembering Krishna, and because of that knowledge, it will dissolve it. But even though it's our, dissolve means our interest in our attachment to it, but even that's dissolved doesn't mean we don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Yudhishthira is not attached to Draupadi on the mundane platform. But, you see, he perfectly performs the duties of a husband towards Draupadi. Because that's how, as devotees, they can interact with each other. Otherwise, how do you interact? There has to be a reason you're interacting. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Is that okay?
I was just thinking about the Krishna focus, and I was thinking of practical living, like, say, for the wife, she's doing the household duties, whereas the husband is at the podium, or say, the husband is serving the wife and the children. So, Krishna accepts that service and it's serving the family?
Yeah. That's there, as long as we understand why that's there. It means you should add that. It means we want to please the husband because he's a devotee. So that's there, that's nice. So that means your mood is maybe nice. But why do you choose the particular services to please the husband or please the wife? Where did those come from? What's that got to do with Krishna? So that's because Krishna himself has standards. He likes things clean. Therefore we're cleaning the house. Because the house is the husband's house, and therefore then he'll be also pleased with it. So it's a simultaneous connection. You like that? Yeah. So if the husband's a devotee and the wife is doing that, even if she's not a devotee, she can be connected to Krishna because these are standards Krishna likes anyway. Krishna has made, he likes cleanliness, he's the supreme pure, so he likes everything in connection with him pure. Therefore, cleanliness is important, therefore all the different six kinds of cleanliness of the mind, of the body, of the surroundings, of the consciousness, of the paraphernalia, like that, I keep clean. And so that way that I'm doing cleanliness for Krishna. But it also just happens to fit in that, you know, my duties as a wife towards my husband, even though he's mundane. You know, he's not a devotee. But still, she can connect it like that. If he is a devotee, then she has those two to connect. And she doesn't have to worry. If she can transfer it completely to Krishna, great. If not, then as long as he's a strong devotee, it doesn't matter. But the husband at one point has to transfer it. If he doesn't, then since he didn't, then he'll have two options. It means, as a man, he only has the one option. The women have the two options. So if he operated two options as a man, then in his next life he will get the opportunity that having two options is okay for him. Like that. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll go into attentive. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Vakuranda ki, Chaitanya Prabhupada ki.